afternoon. I'm David Haynes, the opinions editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Welcome to On Politics. I'm joined today by Mary Spicuzza in our Milwaukee office and Dan Bice, and we'll talk to Craig Gilbert, our Washington bureau chief. Let's look at the headlines. First of all, Trump versus Ryan. Who wins this fight? We'll take a closer look then at Paul Ryan's primary race. And another race on Tuesday, could John Chisholm, the Milwaukee County DA, lose? Finally, a couple of other races to watch and your questions. But first, I'd like to go to an interview I did with Craig Gilbert, our Washington bureau chief, just moments ago. So, Craig, it's been quite a week for Donald Trump and for Paul Ryan. How big of a deal has this flap been, do you think, politically?
I think it is a big deal. I mean, you're baffled. I'm baffled. Republicans in Wisconsin are baffled. Paul Ryan is baffled. You know, after the conventions, I think the Republicans felt like they made some progress in unifying the party. And then the Democrats had their convention. And then it's been one thing after another, this fight with the military family. And then this, you know, crazy fight that he picked with Paul Ryan, which really kind of revisited all the antagonism between Trump and Wisconsin Republicans during the primary.
So, Craig, Trump got a tremendous amount of blowback for his comments about the Kahn family. I'm wondering, just on that aspect of the story, politically, what has that cost him? Didn't he step on some bad news coming out of the Hillary Clinton campaign this week?
Yeah, no, I think it cost him on a lot of levels. I mean, it certainly fueled the momentum that Democrats had coming out of their convention. It kind of overshadowed some potentially negative stories about Hillary Clinton that might have been bigger deals if it hadn't been for not only his fight with the Kahns, but then, you know, taking on Paul Ryan and John McCain in the way that he did and creating this kind of confusion, disarray, anger, division within his own party that they thought they had begun to remedy or remedied in part, and now, you know, raising all these questions about Trump's temperament, about whether this party can ever unify behind him. I mean, even, you know, some chatter on the margins about whether he'll end up, you know, even on the ballot in November. And then you've seen in the polling, it's been one straight line, a Democratic trend, and he's falling seriously behind in the national polls and in the state polls that are coming out.
Yeah. So I'm wondering what you're picking up. What are Republican operatives trying to do to get him on track? Does he listen to anyone?
Well, that's the problem. I mean, they're really not sure what to do on a personal level about Donald Trump, because he not only has not shown any kind of, quote, growth, unquote, or evolution toward being a more traditional candidate and avoiding kind of the controversies and the outbursts. But in the past, he's ridiculed the idea that he should even make that change and that he should, quote, pivot toward being more presidential. He seems convinced that what's got him here so far has been sort of his brand of campaigning and his brand of Republicanism. And he's been very skeptical of the idea that he should somehow turn into something he isn't. And then there's just the question of whether he's even capable of change. A lot of these things with Donald Trump are being read as just part of his personality, personality tics, an inability to let things go. The Paul Ryan thing, he was revisiting Ryan's almost exact words when Ryan withheld his endorsement from Trump back in May. So people, I think, are kind of just at a loss at this point.
So bring it back home to Wisconsin and politically how all this plays back here. We've got the three leading Republicans, Johnson, Senator Johnson, Paul Ryan, and Governor Scott Walker, all saying they won't go to Green Bay for various reasons when Trump is here on Friday. What's that say about the politics back home?
Well, it says that his relationship with the Republican Party in Wisconsin is really bad, as it was back in March and April when he lost the primary, but it's bad again. As much as, you know, Wisconsin Republicans were part of the effort to stop the Stop Trump movement at the convention in Cleveland. So as party people, they took Trump's side, and now those wounds have opened up again. Not only that, but Sean Duffy, who's probably the most pro-Trump Republican or been Trump's top backer in the Wisconsin congressional delegation, ripped Trump today and took Ryan's side and said he just did not understand why Trump took on Ryan. It was a mistake. It just doesn't make sense on any level, just the way he took on Scott Walker back in the spring. So there's a lot of, I think, scarring and damage, at least in this state, a state that where his support was not that solid to begin with, where he's got real concerns about turnout and about support within his own party.
Yeah, and at the same time, you have this odd juxtaposition of Mike Pence, the Republican running mate, endorsing Ryan, while Trump holds his fire. So talk a little bit about Wisconsin as a battleground state. There was some question about, given how the primary went here, whether it even would be. But we've got Trump coming to town. Tim Kaine's going to be here in the next few days. But what's your take on Wisconsin's place on the political map at this point?
Yeah, so it's not a top five battleground, but it's a top 10 battleground, top 10 or 11 battleground. And so it all depends on how competitive the race is nationally. If it is competitive nationally, then Wisconsin certainly on paper is a place that Democrats have to defend. And demographically, because it's very white and blue collar, it's one of those states that Republicans are talking about expanding the map, even though it's been voting Democratic since the 1980s, mm-hmm. maybe trying to expand the map. The problem, and also there's the opening for Donald Trump and Republicans, the fact that Hillary Clinton is weak in Wisconsin. But again, Donald Trump's own weakness in this state is problems here during the primary, his problems in his own base, the fact that he's got influential conservatives and Republicans in politics on talk radio lined up against him is a real barrier for him to overcome.
Well, Craig Gilbert, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
So I'm back now with Dan Bice and Mary Spicuzza. Mary, let me turn to you first. You've been covering the Ryan campaign. What's new today?
So Speaker Ryan did an interview with Jerry Bader this morning. He fielded questions about the Kahn family, about Trump's comments about him. He basically said that Trump has been on a strange run since the convention, that he hasn't been going after Hillary Clinton. He criticized his comments about the Kahn family, saying that they were just way off base and that it's you shouldn't be attacking families of fallen soldiers. He also went after his opponent, who Trump had praised and said that he was basically funded by out-of-state money, scam PACs, and was kind of a outsider trying to influence Wisconsin elections.
And Nealon has been a supporter of Trump, correct?
Right, yeah, he's been a very vocal supporter of Trump. He defended his comments about the Kahn family. Trump sent him a tweet earlier this week thanking him for his kind words, and he responded saying, just trying to make America great again, trumpeting, you know, Trump's own slogan. So, yeah, he is. I've never heard him say a critical word of Donald Trump.
Do we know if Nealon's going to the Trump event tomorrow?
His staffers said that it had not been decided yet. So I wouldn't be surprised if he attended, but he also might want to campaign in the district ahead of Tuesday's primary.
So what has Ryan said about Trump's sort of non-endorsement?
He brushed off questions about it today and just said that the only endorsement he's worried about is the voters in the first congressional district, which is what you say, but obviously it's a huge snub. I mean, it basically just seemed like Trump was almost echoing his exact comments back in May and basically just kind of dissing him.
And initially he said that he didn't even ask for it.
Right. Oh, yes. He again repeated today that he had never asked
for it. Trump says he did ask for it. I mean, that's a different... You know, it's a funny thing. It seems like a continuation of Trump's strategy during the primary, which was to come in here and diss the leadership and think that that would gain him points.
Walker, especially.
Yeah, he came in and he was very critical of Scott Walker and said that his reforms hadn't accomplished much. And now he's being, you know, critical and distancing himself from Paul Ryan. It's a strategy that didn't work in the primary. I wonder why he thinks it might work this time.
I was going to ask that question to both of you about how the politics of this play in Wisconsin. The polling we've seen from the Marquette Law School poll shows Ryan still looks pretty good.
Right, and he's actually, I mean, the polling shows he's far more popular than Governor Walker and has higher approval and likability ratings. So if anybody, I would say that of the Wisconsin Republicans, Paul Ryan is probably one of the more popular.
Right. I think the numbers were 53% approval rating for Ryan as opposed to 38% for Scott Walker and higher, of course, than Trump's as well, who isn't doing very well.
And Clinton's.
And among Republicans, he's above 80% in terms of favorability. So it seems like a questionable strategy. It also seems to be a Nealon strategy to collect as many endorsements from prominent people outside Wisconsin as possible. Had Phil Schlafly yesterday, and he
right.
said a number of other people that, you know, starting with Sarah Palin, that he was touting these endorsements. But you wonder how those things are really going to play in an election.
Is there a lot of outside money flowing into that race?
There is.
On both sides.
On both sides, both Ryan and Nealon. Ryan, you would expect as the Speaker of the House, mm-hmm. but even then, he's for his own campaign, he's gotten a lot of out-of-state money. But percentage-wise, it's not as high as Nealon's percent, which is interesting because he's supposed to be running this grassroots, standing up for the district campaign, and he's gotten a lot of money from out-of-state. Obviously, he's far, far trailing Ryan, who's bringing in millions of dollars. And
a lot of the money is coming through the super PAC that's being run by Nealon's treasurer that's set up to attack leaders in the House of Representatives. So people who get money through there.
And hires his own company, so it's kind of a
right, sometimes called a scam PAC. So,
right.
But this guy, in talking about connections, his Nealon's treasurer runs the main super PAC against in favor of Donald Trump. So there are lots of connections there.
Now, a few years ago, the Eric Cantor race in Virginia kind of snuck up on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance that that could happen here? Is there any polling that would indicate Ryan is in any kind of trouble here?
Well, it was funny because when Sarah Palin endorsed Ryan's challenger, she said she predicted he would be Cantored and basically mm-hmm. you know, drew that exact parallel, although the polling does not show that he is in imminent danger. It would be a big surprise. He was leading in one poll by like, what was it, 80% or something
yeah, right.
like that. So there has not been a ton of direct polling on that, you know, head-to-head matchups, but from what we've seen,
I think
he's been
the fact that
a
you
huge
announced
amount.
You're going to canter somebody sort of contradicts itself, since that was a surprise.
Right.
And everybody knows that there's this effort going on nationally to try to, by people on the far right and by the Trump supporters, to try to get rid of Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a funny thing to try to run to the right of Paul Ryan. He's not some, and I don't think anyone would consider him a moderate by any stretch of the imagination.
And it's funny because the opponent has been saying he's for open borders, and if it was up to Paul Ryan, there would be no border, and no one is, even when you saw his interview on CNN, the anchors looked kind of like completely confused, and like, when has Paul Ryan called for opening up the borders? It's
right.
a little mysterious.
Right. Well, let's move on to another race that looks like it might be hotter than some might have expected. That's for Milwaukee County District Attorney. We spoke with John Chisholm, who was in our office earlier this week, and we have a short video clip we'd like you to look at, and then we'll talk about it.
Did you underestimate this race?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not, Dan.
I can't think of a major local office where, I mean, I'm not going to count Abley because I was getting direct mail from him every day.
Right.
But like in January, you had 8,000 or so in the back, and you knew that there right. were people who didn't like you and would like to see you out of office.
Right.
I'm just surprised that it's August 2nd, and I've yet to see or hear anything from your, you know, in terms of media. What's going on there?
What's going on is we're getting tremendous support. If you looked at it from a traditional race, which this is not, and you go back to April, everybody that was fighting with each other is behind me now, across the board, whether it's organized labor, whether it's elected officials, whether it's the party. Everybody knows exactly what's going on. I have never raised money for the simple reason that I've pretty clearly staked out the position that I think the influence of money in our elections is a really bad thing. And in the context of your elected DA, do you want the elected DA to essentially just be fundraising all the time and making decisions based on what you think people do to give you more money? Absolutely not.
So, Dan, you asked that question.
All of those questions, yeah.
Did he underestimate his opponent?
You know, I'm hearing from people in his office, a lot of people are very nervous around him. He told us he was comfortable with where he is,
yeah.
But, you know, that was before the TV ads started running. Verona Swanigan has a very limited run of positive ads for herself, but then Craig Peterson's group, Milwaukeeans for Self-Governance, started an attack ad on him today. And it's pretty sharp. It's
pretty accusing, tough man. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It's accusing him of playing politics and favoring politics and not caring very much about the crime rate in the city. I raised the question because I had to wonder. He didn't really shift into campaign gear until February or March, and right now he's on radio, and it doesn't look like he'll be on TV. And it looks like a case where every day I get a list of people who are endorsing him, Tammy Baldwin most recently, Gwen Moore, and so forth. But those things, you know, it's a battle right now between someone who's on the airwaves and someone who's sending out endorsement notices.
So it doesn't look like he'll have any TV by Tuesday?
I don't think he's going on TV. I think he's doing radio. He's doing radio only. And the question, I know that Milwaukeans for Self-Governance, they've bought $75,000 worth of TV time. And, you know, Chisholm's campaign has been sending out notices to people saying my opponents are going to spend $500,000. And at that event with the editorial board the other day, I asked him if he still believed that was true or was that scaremongering trying to raise money. And he suggested he does think his opponents are going to spend $500,000 before Tuesday. So it's a funny thing where an incumbent's going to be incredibly outspent and is hoping that his name recognition carries him past the finish line.
So let's talk about who's funding Craig Peterson's group.
It's a dark money group. We don't know exactly who's funding it. The best guess by everybody is that it would be Eric O'Keefe, who was the target of one of the John Doe investigations by John Chisholm's office. He has given money directly to Verona Swanigan, the opponent. But with these groups, they're 501c4s for the most part, a few 527s, but it's a 501c4 nonprofit, and you don't have to say where you got the money. And there's several of those that are up and active and spending money in these campaigns. There's one that's spending money in the Lena Taylor race, and there's one in a Senate race in the Fond du Lac area, and you just have no idea who's funding them. There's one in the Chris Abley race where a lot of people thought it was a pro-Chris Abley group, and a number of people think it was funded by Chris Abley. Yeah. We have no idea if that's true or not.
So by comparison, how much money do the campaigns have in their coffers versus how much might be spent by these outside groups?
You know, Verona Swanigan had less than $25,000 in her campaign account total, whereas this group, Milwaukeeans for Self-Governance, they had reserved $50,000 worth of radio time. They've now spent $75,000 on TV, and there's talk that they might be buying more. So it's the outside groups that are going to, you know, they're obviously trying to determine the outcome of this race. But Milwaukeeans for Self-Governance has been active in a number of races recently and hasn't necessarily been very successful. Mostly what they've done is help incumbents stay in office, but they haven't done so well in terms of challenging incumbents.
And you know, obviously Eric O'Keefe has tons of money and can get tons of money still has a grudge against John Chisholm, and he and Craig Peterson are close, so I think a lot of people do think that the money is coming from O'Keefe.
Right, and I have a source who told me that at a meeting in Indianapolis last week, Eric O'Keefe said he's preparing another lawsuit against John Chisholm. So this, you know,
he hasn't gotten over it and moved on.
Right. He continues to pursue John Chisholm in the courts and now on TV. It's just a little funny to me that's happening so late, because you know with this you could have been building it up, building a case. And for the most part, most of the coverage on this race has been about how flawed a candidate Verona Swanigan is, and I don't think anyone would say that she's a great candidate. She's doesn't have any prosecutorial experience. She's spent most of her time representing slumlords or strip clubs. And there was the case in 2014 in which she said that she was suffering some mental and physical problems and couldn't represent a client in a case. And then there's, of course, her book of erotic poetry, which none of us will forget. So
she'll probably be the first DA who's also written a book of erotic poetry.
Let me ask you one more question. What's her path here to win? Clearly, she's got more money likely on her side, but that doesn't always mean you win. So what's her path to win?
I think the template for her campaign is a smaller version of David Clark's path to victory, which is she's African-American, You hope that there's a good, strong turnout in the African American community, because you do have some Senate races and some Assembly races, and then you run a tough on crime campaign and try to appeal to conservatives in the suburbs, in the Milwaukee suburbs. So you hope those two things come together.
And you try to hang the John Doe around John Chisholm's
name. The only thing is, polling has shown, from what I've seen, most people on both on the left and the right don't care about the John Doe investigation. They would have cared if someone, you know, if charges had been brought against, say, you know, the governor or somebody like that, but that didn't happen. So it's a fight that I don't think really resonates. And even in that ad, you see there's no mention in the Milwaukeeans for Self-Governance ad. There's no mention of the John Doe. It just says he pursued his political opponents, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, only an oblique reference.
Right.
Well, let's go to, speaking of politics and campaigns, we're going to dispense with winners and losers this week and ask you to name a race that you're watching. So, Mary, let me go to you first. What race are you watching?
So, the race with Senator Lena Taylor being challenged by State Representative Mandela Barnes is really interesting. Obviously, Lena's been in office for some time. She's quite well-known, has high name recognition. She was one of the 14 Democratic senators who skipped town and headed to Illinois during the Act 10 protests. Mandela has also, a lot of people know him. I think he's pretty well-liked among his circles. He's challenging her as the incumbent. There was a very interesting debate between the two of them that I helped moderate about a week ago.
And it was a great debate.
It was a great debate. I feel like more Wisconsin debates should be like that one. It was, and Lena certainly held her own, but I felt like Mandela gave it back to her too. So I was very happy
to
be a part of it.
It was two candidates who want the seat and were
they
very
really
passionate
want the
about
seat.
It.
Yeah. So, obviously, it's divided the community quite a bit, where Lena is accusing him of being the East Side candidate, the Shorewood candidate.
And the candidate who hasn't gotten things done. He's saying she gets things done, but she does it by working with Republicans and making concessions that I wouldn't concede.
So. Right, and they've argued quite a bit about gun violence. Lena's obviously been an advocate for gun rights. She's a gun owner. Mandela has been for tighter gun control. They fought about schools and voucher schools. So I think I'll be watching that one on Tuesday.
I was told by someone yesterday the polling in districts like that is very difficult because it's such a small sample size, but that the polling indicate that they're running neck and neck. So that makes it interesting
as
well.
So, Dan, how about you?
I'm choosing a congressional race, the Republican primary to replace Reed Ribble. You have Frank Lissay. We've talked about a little bit here, the questions about where does he live. Then you have Mike Gallagher, a first-time candidate who had worked for a little bit of time for Scott Walker, and then Terry McNulty, who's the third candidate there. It's a competitive race, very different approaches to things, and you can see that by which one of these candidates is going to go to the Trump rally. You have Frank Lissay, who says, yes, I'm going, I'm definitely going. Mike Gallagher, who says, I'm not going. Sort of in line with Walker, Ryan, and those people. And then Terry McNulty, I don't think we know what he's doing. But it's really a race between those two, between Gallagher and Lissay. Lissay, who's been in office for a long time and is a divisive character, a divisive politician, and Gallagher, who has the backing of the establishment.
All right, well, let's go to questions. We have at least one here today. Travars would like to know, why does Wisconsin have so many primary elections? We had one in the spring. We've got another one now in the dead of summer. So what's the thinking there?
We love elections.
This is just the difference between the nonpartisan and the partisan races right now. We have the nonpartisan races, but then we also have the presidential primary, which every state keeps on moving earlier and earlier so the states can have an impact. And then the races now are the partisan races. And the primary had been in September, but it was moved back to August. And then the general election, of course, will be in it will be in November. But yeah, we do love elections, and so when we don't have elections, we have recall elections.
So, yeah, we can't really complain because compared to the recalls, this seems like a slightly lighter load.
We love elections here. So finally, a question from Bert. I haven't read anything in a paper about Hillary Clinton in the last few days. Is she hiding from the press? I'll take that one, actually. I think the answer is Donald Trump has stepped all over her bad news this week. We talked to Craig a bit about it earlier, but that's one of the problems with Trump's approach.
Well, and that's what Paul Ryan said this morning in his interview, that he was baffled as to why Trump wasn't focusing his attacks on Hillary Clinton rather than going after the Gold Star family or Speaker Ryan, really, for that matter.
Well, because he can't let things go.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to be the pattern. He can't let it go. And, you know, his refusal to endorse Paul Ryan, I mean, his response is very much like a joke. He's like, okay, Paul Ryan wouldn't endorse me at first, so I'm not going to endorse him at first. Ha ha. But that's, right. It ends up just...
not quite there yet.
I'm right.
As Anderson Cooper said at one point during a town hall meeting, sir, that sounds like a five-year-old. with that, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us for another edition of On Politics. I was joined today by Craig Gilbert in Washington, D.C., by Mary Spacuzza and Dan Bice in studio. I'm David Haynes.